Well, without further ado, please welcome Pastor Craig to bring the message.
Morning, everyone. How are you today? I've been away for just over a week, and it's nice to be back. Isn't it great to see parents giving thanks to the Lord and declaring that they will bring their children up in the ways of Jesus? Thank you, all three of you. You see, some of you have been on this stage, right? And you've done exactly the same thing. You've made exactly the same declaration. Some of you have told us stories from this stage, testimonies of how you've come to know Jesus. Some of you have shared stories in this place about the blessings that you've received from the Lord. And it's important that we remember why we do all these things, why we have baby dedications, why we share testimonies, why we acknowledge and give thanks for the blessings that we receive. We do these things to proclaim the goodness of God. We do these things to share His love and to encourage one another. You know, I wonder how many different settings you'll come across in your lifetime where you have 200 people or so ready, willing, and anticipating hearing the word of God or receiving some encouragement. You see, what the parents have done this morning in front of around about 200 or so people, they made an incredibly bold statement. See, today Andrew, Bronwyn, Solomon, Gifty, Peter and Sophie have made an incredibly bold statement that they hope that their children will one day make a decision of their own. Their declaration today is until that time comes, they will grow their children up in the ways of the Lord. This morning, these parents have made it so, so clear that they wish to pass the message of Jesus from generation to generation. You see, the idea of legacy is important to God, particularly for people who have chosen to follow Christ. We actually have a responsibility to pass the good news of Jesus from generation to generation. It should form our legacy and is the essence of this morning's message. See, as I say, I've been away for about a week. I went over to Melbourne to something called the CMA conference, which deals with church governance and policy, and I spent 3 days doing that. But for the rest of the week, I got to spend time with my family, introducing my son to some of his uncles and aunties and cousins out in Melbourne. And last Monday, I was all about legacy. Last Monday, I had this incredible moment. As a father, I felt so proud. I was holding my little boy's hand as we were on the tram headed to Flinders Street station in Melbourne. And he was all dressed up in his red and blue shirt. You see, we were about to go to the MCG. I was taking my little boy for the very first time to see my team play at the MCG. Some of you know who my team is and you know we didn't win. Standard. But I was filled with a great joy because I remembered my dad holding my hand when I was 8 years old, and he took me to a place called Selhurst Park in London. And what happened that day was we went to this terrible football match, soccer for those of you that don't know. It's football really, right? My dad took me. And from the age of 8, I was hooked. This was something that I did with my dad and still do with my dad as many times as I can. I go to the football, and one of the major, major parts of going to the football is that I get to go with my dad. It's what we do. It's part of our legacy. You see, he handed that great opportunity to me, and now I want that same legacy with my boy. He's probably going to hate AFL or something like that, you know, maybe, I don't know. So I was so excited to do it. But it got me thinking in the context of this message, what is actually really important? What are the things that I'm passing on to not just my son or my family, but my friends, the people around me, in my workplace, outside of my workplace, when I socialize? What is my legacy? You see, football's great, but it's only for an instant, and it definitely isn't eternal. So I wonder, church, what does your legacy look like? So hold that thought and turn your eyes to the screen while we explore the concept of legacy.
Legacies transcend the boundaries of time. We create them with or without our knowledge. Our words, our deeds, all pieced together, will form the history we leave behind. They are told, shown, held, felt. Memories we absent-mindedly create for countless tomorrows. Legacies are roads left paved for those that will follow. They leave trails filled with reflective ideals. They are monumental. They are minimal, but they are never forgotten. Children, grandchildren, neighborhoods, co-workers, friends, enemies, the lives of those around us inherit the story we leave behind. They make their way to everywhere, through tale or virtue. Legacies stand tall in the face of trial. They prevail. They're found in risk that clings to the promise of hope. Legacies can be found in tattered souls and wrinkles aged with wisdom. They make their way to empty rooms and trailing heartbeats. They find their way into the back of our minds, sit with us, lingering, waiting to be remembered. Found in humbled homes, inherited mansions, and tin-roofed rooms, legacies extend past the limited hours of your life and mine. Where have you seen them? Where have you taken them in? What will your name leave behind? Legacies test all boundaries. Legacies find no limits. Legacies light the way. Legacies lead. The choice is yours. What will be your legacy?
Just a nice, light, 3-minute video for your Sunday morning, right? What will your legacy be? Why don't we pray? Father, I ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears. Father, that we may reflect this morning. That there may be long-term and everlasting transformations that come out of what you have for each of us today. Lord, we ask that as we look into the theme of legacy, that you would help us to honor you in the legacies of our lives. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, church, just so we're all clear, the word legacy means something that is part of your history or remains from an earlier time. That's the Cambridge English Dictionary. The legacy or the history that someone leaves behind is often the thing that characterizes them. I want to show you some examples on this screen. Hopefully there's at least one familiar face out of those famous people. As you can see, there are some figures on your screens that hopefully you remember fondly. But there are others that draw up very different and less favorable emotion. I hope you can see just by this small group of famous people, some living, some now past, that legacy can be viewed in different ways. It can evoke many different emotions, and it can leave you with a positive or negative legacy. You'll have your opinions about some of these people, if not all of them, and their legacy in some cases has and will go far beyond their own lives and will be shared from generation to generation. I want to just pause for a moment for each of us to consider what our own legacy will be. How will we be described by the generations that come after us? If there was one word or sentence to describe your legacy, what do you think it would be? Take a moment. Have a think. Maybe after the service, ask a friend how they would describe you and your legacy, and see if it matches the way you think you will be remembered. You see, we often want to think that we'll leave behind a great legacy, and I hope you and I will. But really, our legacy is not for us to tell everyone. It's for what everyone else says about us. How will you be described? You see, for each of us, we still have an opportunity to influence how we're remembered. And the Bible gives us some great encouragement as to what is important for the generations to come to remember us by. And Pastor Kerry has already spoken this verse this morning. It's from Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read 5 to 7 from the NIV. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." I'm going to continue out of the NLT version. It says, "Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You see, we're encouraged to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. Keep His commandments on our hearts. But more than that, and I think if you go into the Pierce house, you'll see, we're told to impress these things on our children. Now, if you haven't got children this morning, you're going, this is not a message for me. You got it wrong. Because in the days that the Bible was written, they weren't written just to individuals. These messages were for all. And so they weren't necessarily saying, "Craig Davinia, you just speak to your child." They were speaking to great masses of people. Great masses of people, and saying, "Hey, tell your children, all the children." You see, if we don't have our own children, we still have a responsibility. The people of the day had a culture that was far more collective and less individualistic than today. So these attributes are meant to be shared and passed on from generation to generation en masse. You know, this is why I actually love, and maybe it's probably the wrong thing to say, but some of my favorite people that serve in this place are the youth leaders and the kids leaders. I'm sorry, welcome team. But they uphold a great responsibility of sharing the good news with our children. Not their own children necessarily, but with the next generation. It's an opportunity that sometimes doesn't come naturally. You see, we should also note that this verse says that the sharing of the love of God should take place when we're at home, when we're walking along the road, when we're lying down or waking up. In other words, when you're still, or when you're active, when you're starting the day, or when you're ending it, there are little or no boundaries for these instructions. You see, that means we should be exemplifying the love of God at home, in our workplaces, in private, in public. There really is no clause to stop. I want to move into two just very, very small, short verses before we close, actually. The first verse is from Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your," that's God's, "mighty acts." Now, I could have put a bucket load of verses that talk about generation to generation. I picked two. I picked two just because the premise of all of them is to share. We have a responsibility to pass the good news on. We're told to commend the works of the Lord to the next generations, share stories of his mighty deeds. This is one of the reasons that we meet together at Hillside, so we can share his word and tell one another of his mighty acts. You know, Michelle McCormack from Pregnancy Problem House briefly mentioned Esther in her message a few weeks ago. And Esther is a great example of a person that left a legacy for the Jewish people. She saved them when she was given an opportunity. She acted in faith despite her own safety being in doubt. You see, just a brief synopsis of the book of Esther. The king who chose Esther to be his queen was not aware that Esther was Jewish. And despite her new position, Esther was about to witness her people be put to the sword. She had an opportunity to speak to the king and save her people, despite the prospect of her herself potentially being put to death. Esther made a bold statement. She revealed her heritage to the king and asked for her people to be spared. And so they were. Esther's actions impacted many, many generations that may never have been born had she not taken the action that she took. To this day, the story of Esther is retold and celebrated. Her legacy continues to thrive in and beyond the church. You can read that whole story. It's an incredible story in the book of Esther in the Bible. And I wonder, church, when did we last give thanks and share of God's mighty acts in our lives? You see, it doesn't have to be a blockbuster. I kind of have mentioned a blockbuster when I mentioned Esther. Sometimes we get intimidated that we think it has to be a Hollywood type scenario. Sometimes we aren't all in a position to save a whole people group or tell incredible stories that have high impact. You see, our testimony doesn't need hype. It just needs to be real. Sometimes we can become so blasé about testimony of God's acts in our lives because he's just so good to us all of the time that it becomes normal. Blessing becomes normal. I want to share with you just a very short testimony of something that you might think is amazing, but is what God is doing all the time. I was here 2 weeks ago after the carpet had been put in and we were frantically trying to get the stage back together. It was 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. And Devin, who isn't here this evening, he said, "I've been trying to get the audio equipment to work and it just won't work." So I came down Saturday night and I am plugging things in, pushing buttons, nothing is working. And I actually had him on FaceTime. And I'm saying, I'm showing him what I'm doing. And it just isn't working. I have him on FaceTime for about 20 minutes. We tried everything, didn't work. And I said to him, "Dev, I can't get it to work, so I'm going to go home now. I'm just going to pray over this thing, and then I'm going to leave it. And I'm just believing it in the morning, it's just going to come right. I'm telling you, about 15 seconds later, after I'd hung the call up, I FaceTimed him back. I said, you've got to see this, mate. All the lights are on, everything's working. And he's like, what did you do? And I'm like, absolutely nothing. I just prayed. And he's like, well, you sure you didn't do anything? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I did anything. I'm sorry about the normality of that. I'm sorry that it's just like no one was spared an imminent death. Yeah, we would have gone acoustic if the audio gear hadn't worked. And you'd have been all right with that because you're gracious. My point is, it doesn't need to be a blockbuster. I'm sorry for telling the boring story of God's blessing. You see, God works in the little all the time. I wonder if we acknowledge it. I wonder if in our workplaces, you know, for me in particular, it was always tough in my previous workplace. How do I give honor and glory to God? Because I need some kind of hype. I need bombs to be dropping all around me for the impact to be there. And sometimes our greatest testimonies just come in what we might perceive to be normal. You know what? It's not normal. It's living in the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 102, verse 18, it says, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. On this verse, I want to use this church as an example. You may not have noticed my opening slide. It was a beautiful kind of like bluey with a pink tinge. Does it look familiar to any of you? Oh, it does. Okay. So, this is an example of legacy being passed from generation to generation. For those of you that are unaware of what this is, these are actually pieces of the previous carpet that was down on this floor about 3 weeks ago. Okay? So, this blue carpet here, or whatever color it is, how long had that been on there for, Pastor Kerry? 15 to 17? 15 years? How many feet have trodden on that? 15 years worth of feet trodden on that one. This beautiful pink number. Yeah, there was a bit of tomato sauce on that. We won't talk. That's not for this message. This pink number preceded the blue carpet. But we put a wall on top of the pink bit. So when we took the wall down, the pink bit was still there. Okay, so I reckon, conservatively, there's 30 years worth of carpet in this photo. I'm sorry that I'm blowing your mind with carpet now. You see, these are pieces of carpet that have previously covered the slab of this auditorium. This carpet is a testimony to the faithfulness of God's people. It's a testimony to the faithfulness of God's people in this house of God, that they'll sow in the upkeep of this house, his house, so that many others will reap its benefits. You've sown into this carpet, and I hasten to guess that it might be down here for at least 15 years. Some of us might not, we might move away, we might go to other churches, we might, for whatever reason, not be here in years to come. But this is a testimony to the sowing that you've done, the upkeep of the house of Jesus here in Forestfield. Others will benefit. I hasten to guess there will be other youth group members that will pour tomato sauce on this carpet too. I think of how many babies and toddlers will crawl upon this carpet. And it will be underfoot as they grow. And one day they might themselves sow into this place. Generations to come will not know or see that awkward pink and blue and white speck number. They won't fully understand how many stains and spills were visible on the blue one that we've just removed. But they will know that someone at some point in the past cared enough to ensure that they had a carpet on the floor in the house of God for the generations to come to walk on. Is that too normal? Is that too mundane? I'm sorry to be hitting you with mundane testimony this morning. You see, just as an aside, and this will be good, this will be exciting. We're going to be sharing a closer look at the history of Hillside Church coming up next month. We're going to acknowledge its 83rd birthday. And we're going to look at the generations, yeah, it's good. We're going to look at the generations that have built and developed and just pushed the message of Jesus forward under the promptings and the visions from the Lord. That's just an aside, that's coming in July. But church, I tell you all of this to ask you the question, what paths are we leaving behind for generations to follow? What will be left behind that will signify what we stood for? Can I have the worship team to the stage, please? This morning, can I encourage you to think seriously? I gave you maybe 45 seconds to think about it earlier. What your personal legacy will be with regard to your faith. What will we pass from generation to generation? What will our legacy be in our homes, in our workplaces, in our families, with our friends, at the start of the day and at the end of it? Will anyone remember us by our love of Jesus? Will anyone remember us by our love of Jesus? Will anyone remember us by our love of Jesus? Please don't go asking people at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. You can have a look around. I can probably assume a lot of you love Jesus. But really, it's out on the streets. It's back in our homes. It's in our workplaces that they need to know. Will anyone remember you for your godliness in action, word, or deed? Do we honor God in our workplaces, in our homes, in our conversations, or just on a Sunday morning? You see, no matter what your past may look like, know that it's never too late to reframe your legacy. If you're thinking, nah, people will remember me for the wrong reasons, I don't know how I'm going to deal, I highly encourage you to check out the person called Paul in the Bible. He ain't characterized by what went before. He's characterized by what he jumped into after meeting Jesus. That gives me great hope. That gives me great hope. You see, today I'm believing that the Lord could want to start a whole new chapter in your story. Today could be the day that the Lord inspires you to take action, to do something, to start your legacy. How will people remember you? I'm speaking to you young people as well. How will people remember you? This morning may be the beginning of your legacy to those around you and the generations to come. So as we close church, I don't have 3 points for you. You got to work this one out on your own. It's your life, not mine. We all got to work out what our legacy is going to look like. But rest assured that Jesus cares about legacy. He wants us to carry his message in action, word, and deed far beyond this place. Will you pray with me, church? Lord, I just thank you for your great love of each of us. I thank you that you know each of us by name, for you have made us in your image and for great, great purpose. Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you love us just as you find us. I'm asking this morning, Lord, that we may be filled with your desire for the generations to come to know you through us. Lord, show us how to love just as you have loved us, in order that that same love will be poured out and on display and passed from generation to generation to generation. Will you fill us, Holy Spirit, with a desire to share the legacy that you have left for us, a victorious inheritance, the very, very good news of Jesus Christ. Church, why don't you stand and let's sing.